classrooms, so all of our elementary age students are going to head to the class right through my right. Those double doors, parents, they're going to be taught a lesson designed especially for them, ages first grade through fifth grade. They're back here to my right, and we appreciate all of our kids. We like to bless our kids because Scripture teaches us that, how important it is to bless our children. So let's go ahead and bless our children. Of course, our nursery and preschool is already meeting, and now our elementary. Let's bless all of our children. Father, Lord, we stretch our hands toward the walls. We just pray to God you bless all of our children today. Lord, may they grow up to be children of destiny, knowing, God, that you love them, that you have a purpose for their life. I pray today, God, that the Spirit of the Lord be upon them in a mighty way. God, as they walk today, even may they not may not understand and comprehend everything that's going on, we deposit in their spirit, Lord, as parents, Lord, as pastors, as leaders, as elders today, we deposit in their spirit, God, that they would be a godly heritage, Lord, they would be rise up, Lord, to reach your generation for you. We come against anything that the enemy may have planned for their life. We cancel that out. Father, we speak positive growth into their life, spiritually, physically, mentally, socially. And God, we cover our children with our prayers today, God, and we bless your name together. We say amen.
Amen.
Time to something that was never mine.
Today we're going to continue our series called Give, and we're learning to open up our hands, open up our heart, open up our life and say, God, we want to give our life to you. We talked about giving away forgiveness. We talked about giving our life unto the Lord in every area of our life. God is wanting all of our heart. How many know God doesn't want half your heart? He doesn't want just a part of your heart. He wants your whole heart. He wants your whole life. He wants everything we have to give to him, because that's the kind of God that he is. He requires that from us, that he is asking us to give everything, to trust him in every area of our life. He doesn't want us to trust him only in half. Lord, I trust you for this, but I'll take care of this my own. No, putting Christ first in lordship of our life is saying, God, I am trusting you in every area of my life. And so we're learning to trust him in our marriage, our finances, in our time, our talent, our treasure. Every area of our life, we're learning to walk in trust in the Lord and giving the Lord everything we are. And so this is a very important principle. As we're learning to give away forgiveness. We're learning to open up our hands and say, God, help us not to be selfish people, because we're naturally selfish people, aren't we? That's just a very natural thing. Sometimes we're a small child, we always say, everything is mine, right? What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's our philosophy in life. We're very naturally selfish people, so we're learning up to open up to give. Last week we talked about the restoring the joy in giving. I tell you, what a powerful time. I don't know about you, but I felt something breaking at the end of the service last week. I felt a spirit of joy returning to giving that sometimes we can very easily forget and allow that worry. Just, you know, am I giving this for the right reasons? Am I doing this out of duty and obligation? Or am I doing it out of the joy of my heart that I want to be a blessing? Today I want to talk to you about a question. Whose Skittles are you eating? Isn't that an interesting title? Whose Skittles are you eating? How many like Skittles? Anybody like Skittles? I really like Skittles. Anybody here, raise your hand if you really like Skittles. Ushers, why don't you go ahead and pass out those Skittles to everybody today? You're going to get a treat today. Now that all the kids are gone, we're going to get some candy. My kid said, it's unfair, Dad, it's unfair. You gotta go to class and you're getting Skittles in there. All of a sudden, my fifth grader got real spiritual. Dad, I think it's time for me to sit in church. I said, good try. Go to your class this morning. You got all spiritual this morning. I think it's time for me to sit in church, Dad. You know, I love Skittles, and hopefully we'll have enough for everybody here. We should have plenty. Skittles are so yummy. What's so good about these Skittles? I figured out, you know what's so good about Skittles? Sugar. You know, that's really what it is. My body's craved the sugar. You know, I don't eat a lot of Skittles, even though I look like I do, I know, but I really don't eat a lot of Skittles. But my kids really love Skittles. Anybody have kids who love Skittles. And it's hard just to eat one Skittle, isn't it? Some of you are asking, is it all right to eat Skittles this morning in my sermon? Yes, it's okay. Okay, I'm giving you permission this morning to eat Skittles during the sermon. It wasn't too long ago that I bought some Skittles for one of my kids. One of my sons wanted some Skittles. We were at Walmart going through the line. Now, listen, I am not the kind of dad. I'm really, you know, pretty hard when it comes to going through the line at Walmart. They grab, I want this, I want that. I'm like, nope, don't even ask. You know, I'm going to put blinders on my kids as we check out because I'm like, don't even ask. As a matter of fact, they know. Don't even ask your dad because I'm probably not going to get you anything in that little aisle going there because, you know, when you got five kids, we can add a bill really fast going through that aisle. And so we just don't even go there, okay? But one time, every once in a while, when it's just me and one of the kids, I'll do, you know, I'm a little softy at times, and I'll say, all right, grab you a Coke or grab you some Skittles, something out of the ordinary. And one of my sons wanted some Skittles, and I'll name him. I won't name his name, so you have to guess which one it is, and I won't tell you. But anyway, he had some Skittles, and we got in the car. I'm like, man, those Skittles look really good. Can I have some Skittles? He looked at me and went, nope. I go, son, just give me a few Skittles. All I'm asking for is a few Skittles. And he said, buy your own Skittles. And I said, son, I did buy those Skittles. And I want some of your Skittles. He said, it's not fair. These are my Skittles. And you don't ever buy me Skittles. So I want to hold on to these liquid gold that we call Skittles. And I was trying to get the Skittles for my son. And he finally gave me some. It was like, you know, you could tell just was eating them all over. He was counting how many I poured out. He was counting like one. Not too many, Dad. You see, I think our life really is a lot like Skittles. Because what my son really didn't realize is this. So first of all, I'm the one who bought these Skittles, right? I bought these Skittles for him. The second thing he didn't realize was this, that if I wanted to, I could punch that kid in his jaw and take his Skittles. Don't act like you never wanted to do that. Come on. I could just wrestle that kid down. I could overpower him and take those Skittles from him and eat every one of them in front of him and say, ah, you know, who's got the Skittles now? Ain't so tough now, are you, with the Skittles? I could overpower him. And what my son really didn't comprehend was this, is that if I really, really wanted to, I could go back into that store and I could take out a credit card and I could put 500 bags of Skittles on my credit card and rain on him all the Skittles he ever wanted in his life. I mean, I could give him more Skittles than he can eat all year long. But his mind couldn't comprehend that. His mind couldn't comprehend that. His mind could only see this small bag of Skittles. His mind couldn't comprehend that Dad could buy me all the Skittles he wanted. And if Dad ate all your Skittles, you know what? Dad's probably going to buy you some more. And so, many times in our life is like a bag of Skittles. We see everything we have is ours. And what we don't realize is that God is asking just for a few Skittles. And when God's asking for a few Skittles, we say, no, no, God, these are my Skittles. God, I love these Skittles. They taste so good. Don't they taste good? Some of you are already smiling and enjoying them. Well, we don't understand that God wants to do something. We don't understand that the fact that God wanted to, he could take our Skittles from us forcibly. He's an all-powerful God. If he wanted to, he could take those Skittles from us, what we have in our life. If God wanted to, he could rain down Skittles from heaven. We could go taste the rainbow. Wouldn't that make a good commercial? We could do this, man. We could give us all the Skittles we want. And in our life, we don't realize and comprehend what God's really asking us to do and what he's capable of doing in our life. Instead, we hang on to our Skittles. And some of us here today, everything we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, is our bag of Skittles. Some of us have a small bag of Skittles just like this. Some of us have Bill Gates size Skittles and everything in between. And the fact is now about how much Skittles you have, that's not the question. The question is, what are you doing with your Skittles? How are you stewarding your Skittles? How are you doing what God has already blessed you with? What are we doing with the things that God has blessed our life with? We toss around this word a lot. God bless you. When someone sneezes, what do we say? God bless you. Do we really mean that? You know, God bless you. You got snot on your shoulder. Please, to wipe it off. You know what bugs me a lot when we go and we listen to, you know, maybe an award show or you see some comedian up there and he gets up there and he's like, blankety blank this and using God's name in this and the song they won the Grammy for, it's got everything against God. And then get up here and say, first of all, I want to thank God and God bless you. You know, it's just a kind of a slogan that we use in society today with really not understanding the content of really how powerful that word is, that God does want to bless you. That God longs to bless you and I. And He does want to bless you. And we're not walking around flippantly saying God bless you, because God is really wanting to bless our life. There's a blessing that God is wanting to receive it to us. I thought about this word blessing and the definition that goes along with the word blessing. And I've been able to come up to this definition. I think you'll like it. To be blessed means to this: to be on the receiving end of the tangible and the intangible favor of God. How many like that? To be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. You see, when you're in the favor of God, it doesn't matter how many skills I have. What matters is I know that God has all the skills I need in the world. That all the resources I'm really longing for, it doesn't matter how big my skills are, whether I have a small bag, a big bag, or a warehouse full of Skittles. What's important is my God has all the Skittles I need. My God has everything I need, and He's wanting to let me be on the receiving end of the tangible, the things that I can touch, and the things I can't touch, the favor of God. How many want to live your life in the blessed place? How many want to live your life in the favor that God has for you? We all do, don't we? None of us want to walk around in a cursed place. None of us want to walk around without the favor of the Lord. I've walked in God's favor, and I've walked out of God's favor. And I can tell you, I do not want to walk out of God's favor again. It is a very taxing thing on my life, on my marriage, on my health, on my finances, on my emotions. Everything in my life, when I'm walking out of the favor of the Lord, becomes a lot harder. I'm struggling to hang on to my Skittles. I'm struggling just to get a few Skittles. But when I walk in the favor of the Lord, I'm not worried about how many Skittles I have. I'm not worried about where my Skittles are going to come from, because I know that my hope is where? My hope is in the Lord. My hope is upon the Lord, and I can call His name, and He is there. What a powerful song this morning, Justin, you were leading. Because when we call upon the name of our Father, that He is there drawing close to us, and He has all the resources that I'm needing for this day. He has all the emotional support I'm needing. He has all the physical support I'm needing. He has all the spiritual support I'm needing. He has all the financial support I'm needing. He has everything I am needing He possesses. And as I'm putting my trust in the Lord and saying, God, I want to walk in the blessed place. I want to walk in the favor of the Lord. I want to walk in the tangible and the intangible. And the tangible is pretty evident, but what people don't see is the intangible. When you walk in the store, when you walk into work, when you walk into school, and people are upset and look at you, why are you so happy all the time? Why do you always have a smile on your face? Why are you not worried about the economy? Why are you not worried about things that are happening? Why aren't you worried about the problems you're facing? They can't understand that you're walking in the intangible favor of the Lord. And our hope is in the Lord. And I see who my Father is. And it's a blessed place that He wants me to live. My eyes are not on my Skittles. My eyes are upon the Lord. So realizing this, that God is what? God is the blesser in our life. Everything we have is God's. God is the blesser. He is the one who gives us all the Skittles we need. All of your Skittles, no matter if we have Bill Gates size or small size, it doesn't matter, because God is what? He has given us everything. He gives us our personality. He gives us our drive, our energy, our creativity, our innovation. He gives us our smile, our laugh, our personality, our athletic ability. He gives us our brain power. Listen, everything I have comes from the blessor. It comes from God, our Creator. God is the blessor. So if God is the blessor, what's that make us as Christians? Blessed. We are the blessed. God is the blessor, and we are the blessed. Let that soak in a second. God is the blessor. He's wanting to bless my life, and we, in return, are receiving the blessing that God gives, so it makes me what? Blessed. As a Christian, I am blessed. And many times as we go through our problems in life, we forget just how blessed we really are. We have things that come up and we're unhappy about, and things that are struggles in our life, and things that are very uncomfortable, and things that push us. But really, in reality, we are really blessed people. When we really think about it, God is really blessed with so much. God is a blessor, and we are blessed. And so think about this. When we receive Christ, when we receive God, the Son, in our spirit, in our heart, we receive the blessing from the blessor. What's that make us? It makes us blessed, but it also means that together we become a blessing. When the blessor blesses me, he's blessing me to be blessed, so in return, I can link with him to become a blessing to somebody else. God is wanting, he's wanting to bless your life, not so that you can just say, we are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed. You know, the old 80s hymn we used to sing all the time. We walk around, we're blessed people. Hallelujah. You know, we had the blessed thing down, man. We were blessed. But we didn't know what to do with this blessed, did we? I just want to be blessed. I just want to be blessed today. I want to walk in God's blessing. And we don't understand, why am I blessed? So that I can return, become a blessing. That's the reason why God is the blessor, and he's wanting to bless our lives. So in return, we partner with him, and we become a blessing. This is what God's wanting to do. He's wanting your life to become a blessing to other people. He's wanting your time to become a blessing to other people. He's wanting your talents to become a blessing to other people. He's wanting your treasure to become a blessing to other people. That's why he blesses me, so that I partner with him to become a blessing to other people. This is what it's all about. But it doesn't stop there, because we have become a blessing. We receive the nature who God is. We reflect the nature and the character of God through his blessing. In real reality, we realize this, that we don't own anything. Do you realize that? We don't own anything. As a Christian today, in all reality, we don't own anything. God owns it all, and we're just the managers. We are just managers, and God has called us to manage his things here on earth. Matter of fact, we find this as a command in Genesis 1:28. The very first things he was telling Adam and Eve. Look what he says. Then God blessed them and said, what did he do first? God did what first? He blessed them, okay? God blessed them. They became the blessing, the blesser. Look what it says. He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. The word govern it means to manage. That he blessed us and then told us to go out and multiply and to manage the earth. He was talking about everything. Every creature, every plant, every land, everything there is to manage. Man is called to be in control of those things. And we're called to manage God's creation. We're called to manage what God gives us. Some of us, God gives a small bag to manage. Others, he gives a warehouse load of skills to manage. But it doesn't make a difference. What he's given you is, what are you doing with it? That's what he's asking us today. This is the question he's asking. What are you doing with what he's given to you? The very first thing he's told us to do was to manage, to be a manager, to manage his things, to manage the earth, which belongs to him. Some people, though, in fact, a large percentage of us, we don't live in the blessed place that God has for us. A lot of people, we live in the land of the ing, I-N-G, the land of the ing. Anybody ever lived in the land of the ing? How many live in the land of I-N-G? Anybody live in the land of I-N-G, ing? We are. We really, every one of us here, we live in the land of ing. How many know that we're really into owning? We're into talking, We're into ka-ching, ka-ching. We're into bling, bling. We're into a lot of things, aren't we? We have a lot of things that we have. We're into housing. I mean, there's a lot of things today that we have, the land of ING. We live in the land of ING. We really live in this land of ing, owning, cashing, you know, earning, housing, clothing. I mean, we have so many things that we're really good at. We live in this land of ing. God's wanting you to step out of the land of ing and get into the place of blessing. The blessing. That's the ing that God's wanting you to live in. The blessing place. The blessing place that He has for us. But we got to step away and say, God, how am I managing your things? How am I doing with the skittles you've given me today? Here's the question in balance. How do we move from the land of ing to the blessed place? How do we move out of the land of owning, possessing, my thing, your thing, the bling bling, I mean all that. How do we move out of that place and move to the blessed place that God has for us? You know, I did some research and I studied this out, and I can tell you that one out of every six verses in the New Testament happens to be about how we handle, how we manage our things. Isn't that very something that we don't realize, that in Scripture, in the New Testament, one out of every six verses has to do with how we handle our things, how we handle our money, how we handle our skills, how we handle our skills, our talent, our treasure, our time. One of every six scriptures teaches us and talks about how we handle our things. You realize that 30% of the parables that Jesus taught was about money, possessions, and things. 30% of the parables that Jesus taught had to do with how we handle our money, how we handle our things, how we handle our possessions. You know, as a pastor, that I don't teach on giving a lot. Matter of fact, it's been almost 3 years since I've done a series on tithing or giving. So if you're here today new, you say, boy, I walked in today, you walked right into giving. I just tell you that we don't do that a lot here. Matter of fact, last week, I tell you what, I was so thrilled because I had people come up to me, Pastor, I really thought you were setting us up. I said, what do you mean? We expect you to take up a big offering at the end of church. Like, is there something you're going to present to us? And that's really the mentality we have. Anytime we hear a message about giving, we think, what's the big catch? Okay? What are you trying to buy? What are you trying to earn? And there was nothing other than we're just trying to restore the heart of giving back to the proper place that God wants us to be. And it's very important. If Scripture takes one out of every six verses in the Bible, talks about how we deal with our things, then it's very important. As your pastor, I take time to teach you. Not everybody here knows these things. Not everybody here has been taught these things. So it's very important we take our time to go through and look at about how God expects us to manage our things. So money is huge. So what we're going to do is for the next year, I'm going to talk about tithing. I'm playing. Some of you go, I'm just playing. Just kidding. But I do want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how we handle our things, what God's expecting. Look what Ecclesiastes says in 5:10. Whoever loves money never has the money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. What he's saying is that when you fall in love with money, when all you want is to try to get the bigger paycheck, when you're trying to get the bigger raise, when you're looking for the best job, if you fall in love with that, it never is enough. You'll get a promotion and a happy, and then 6 months later, you're unhappy. You're looking for the next promotion. Come on. You'll buy a big house and say, this is all the house we'll need. I remember when we bought our house, I'm like, God, if you just let us get this house, just let this thing get approved. We'll never need another house as long as I live. And then the twins were born, and we don't have a big enough house. And we're like, oh, you know, we have to learn to manage what we have. And it's easy to say, well, I can move down the street. I like to have this. I mean, we're never satisfied. We get a new car, and then a year later, what are you doing? Well, I like that new model. I think this one's got a little rattle in it. I mean, your mind comes up with things. Look at the ship. Oh, we need to trade this car in. I mean, we're never satisfied. When we fall in love with things, things will never satisfy us. And there's a reason for that, because God never wanted things to satisfy your spirit. God never wanted things and possessions to give you comfort. God never wanted these things to bring a satisfaction in your heart. There's only one way. There's only one way to receive the peace in your heart, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we put our trust in money, when we put our trust in things, when we put our trust in materialism, we put our trust in status, we put our trust in education, we put our trust in our possessions and our wealth, they'll never satisfy. So we're always trying to get more. Now, is God against money? No. He loves money. Money, money, money! Money! We know God loves money. The God, let's look at scripture. Let me just tell you what God says about money. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What God was trying to tell you is this, that we cannot be a slave to our possessions. We cannot be a slave to our debt. We can't be a slave to our credit card bill. We can't be a slave to our mortgage. We can't be a slave to trying to always get and climb the ladder. Is there anything wrong with wanting to do better? No, God wants you to do better. God wants you to live in blessing. And God is all for that. Matter of fact, I love the scripture. It says this. It says that Jesus said this, that money is the root of all evil. But you know what he didn't say? He didn't say that money was evil. He says the money is the root of evil. It's the root of the problem. It's really the lust for the money. It's the lust for the next thing. It's the lust in the heart. I've got to get this. I've got to have this. I mean, we lived there. My kids got to have it better than I did. I didn't have anything. My kids are going to have it better than I did. Bless God. We're going to school them. We're going to do this. And I got to get a job. My dad only made it so far, so I'm going to just go. I'm going to hire my dad then. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And all of us, if we're not careful, we fall in love with this thing and thinking, this is what's going to bring fulfillment in my life. And when we get there, it's empty. And when we get there, it's empty. When you get that house, you realize it didn't bring fulfillment I thought it would. It's nice. It's, you know what? When it comes down to it, it's really just a house. And how much of this house do we really use? We all still end up sleeping and living in a small little space they call the living room. The TV's out. We're always there anyway. The kitchen and living room, it's all we need. Give us some sleeping bags and we're okay. We really need all this. We don't. Is God against it? No. Does God want you to have it? Yes. But see, I received the blessing from the Lord. This is the attitude. I received the blessing from the Lord so that I, in return, can be a blessing to others. So if God has given me a big house, then have a home group and open up your house and feed people and let them know that God loves them and share the gospel. If God has given you things, be a blessing to other people. Show His love. Look for ways to be a blessing to people that you can spread the gospel. This is what God's wanting. He is blessing you and I so that we can become a blessing to other people. Remember the children of Israel? They escaped from Egypt bondage and they were waiting. They were right there on the edge of taking the land, the promised land. They came to the first city. Remember the city of Jericho? Where the walls come tumbling down? Remember that? And the walls, they came tumbling down. Remember that? And the walls came tumbling down. God told Joshua this. Joshua, he said, Joshua, when you go into Jericho, this is the first city they conquered on their way to receive the promised land. He says, everything in it, I want you to bring back to the house of the Lord. Everything. This first city, I want you to bring everything in this first city. I want you to bring it back to the house of the Lord. All the gold, all the silver, all the bronze, everything that you possess that you take over this land, I want you to bring it back and give it to me to the house of the Lord. God was trying to teach a principle right off the bat that He wants the first. He expects the first, and He doesn't want the leftovers. God does not want our leftovers. God is wanting the first fruits of our life. Look what He said in Exodus 13:2. Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belong to me, whether man or animal. He was commanding of us that we are to set aside. It is a holy thing to give to the Lord the first fruits. It becomes a holy thing that we make the first fruits of our life become a holy thing to the Lord. He is not asking for the leftovers. He's asking for the off the top. He's wanting the top, the first 10%. That's what He's asked for. Because He said we are to keep that holy unto the Lord. God sent His only begotten Son, but is also His first born Son that came to redeem the man. There's something about this first that God was trying to teach us. There's power in the first. God's given His firstborn. He's asked us to give the firstborn fruits of the land. Look what Exodus 23:19 says, and it's not on your overhead, but those of you who want to write that down, let me read it to you. It says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." There was something about the first that God was asking us. There was something about the first that he was wanting to get from us. Proverbs 3:9-10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." First fruits. There's something about this word first fruits that God was trying to say. Firstborn. Keep the first day of the week holy to him. Bring a tithe, a 10%. What was he asking? Bring the first fruit, firstborn of the animals were supposed to be given to the Lord as a sacrifice. The first fruits were supposed to be brought to the house of the Lord. The first of our income, the first 10% was supposed to be given to the Lord. There's something about this thing of keeping and consecrating our first 10% to the Lord that keeps us holy. This is what God was asking us to do. And what he's trying to teach us is that he is a holy God. He gave us the best offering when he gave his only begotten son. And so he's asking for you and I as we give God our best. That's simple what he's asking. He doesn't want your leftovers. He doesn't want you to fill your calendar out this week. I got to do this day and this day and this. So, well, I guess I'm not doing anything Sunday morning, so I guess I'll go to church this week. No. He wants you to look at your calendar and the first thing should be church. Sunday morning, I'm keeping this holy unto the Lord. This time, that's the first thing on my calendar. And I protect that as much as I can, when I can. I protect that. He doesn't want to fill a calendar with everything else and say, all right, God, I guess I can go this week. No. He doesn't want us to go through all of our bills and look at our bills and say, I pay this, but I can't pay it. All right, God, I know you're asking for 10%, but I can only give you 2% this week. God's not asking. God wants our best. He doesn't want you to work and be tired and say, all right, I'll go, God, I'm tired. I don't have nothing to give you, but I guess I'll give someone a smile at the store today. You know, that's the best I can do. I mean, come on. That won't float in your marriage, and it's sure not going to float with God. God's not looking for your leftovers. He's looking for our best. That's what he's wanting. He's wanting, and sometimes our best doesn't look very good. Sometimes our best is just a little bag of Skittles. But that's okay. God's looking at your heart. Are you willing to pass this test of giving him the best? And when we do this, it's something that breaks free in our life. Anybody here today want to donate $100 to me? Anybody want to give me $100 today? Ian, all right, buddy. Give him a hand, yeah. Thanks, Ian. Wow. Sarah's looking shocked already. She's like, I don't even know what you're doing, okay? You're not getting this money back, by the way, okay? Thanks, okay. How many think it was nice of them to give me $100? I'll be counting first, make sure it's here. You know why it was easy for Ian to give me this $100? Because I gave it to him before church started and told him to bring it to me. Because I didn't see anybody else raising their hand. I don't know if that's not God, you let somebody else be a blessing today. This isn't for me. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. We know what we're talking about. But Ian, he jumped up right away. His wife was like, what are you doing? Sit down. You got a lot to eat. All right, come on. So anyway, Sarah's like, you know how many shoes I can buy with this right here? Okay. It was easy for him to bring me the $100. Why? Because I give it to him and told him to bring it back to me. You know, that's really the philosophy that God is asking of you and I, is that we really are just the managers. And when he's asked us to bring the 10%, that's just the first thing he's asked us to do, just to bring 10%. It's okay, I can quickly bring him my 10% because it's really not mine anyway. It belongs to the Lord. Because I am the manager, God is what? The owner. God is the owner, I am the manager. And so I'm just bringing back to him what he's given to me. Now let me ask you this question. How many here today would give me a $10 bill if I gave you this $100? Anybody think that's a good deal? Really? How many would give me a $10 bill if I gave you $100 right now? Some of you are doing the math. That's a $9 profit. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. God, you're speaking to me now. I hear you loud and clear. Woo! How the revival's breaking out. I'm hearing the Lord. You see, in reality, this is the way it is. Because God has asked me to give 10%. And when he gives me, when you bring the 10, God gives me back 90 that's blessed. Some of you are going to catch us this morning. And so the question is this. Do you want to keep $100 that is cursed of the Lord, or do you want to keep $90 that's blessed of the Lord? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do I want to keep $100 that's cursed of the Lord, because those who rob God of the tithe and offering, he says those that money's cursed, or do I want to keep $90, 90% that's been blessed of the Lord? I much rather live at 90% in the favor of the Lord than 100% of my own favor. Plain and simple. I've lived both ways. I can tell you, it doesn't add up. There's never enough. I'm never happy enough. I can never get enough things. I can never get what I mean, never, ever satisfied when I live on 100% of my own. But I can tell you, when I get back to 90% that God gives me and is blessed, I can live in a place of joy. I can live in a place of being satisfied. I can live in a place of contentment. I can live in a place of knowing it doesn't make a difference, John, whether I live in a Cracker Jack house or I live in the biggest house on the block. It doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't. Is God against either one? No, he's not. But he wants me to live in the blessed place. And that blessed place comes when I honor him with the first fruits. The first fruits. I give God my best. We give God our best. That's why we just don't get up here on Sunday morning and worship, a worship team, let's get up here and say, all right, turn to page 32, and it's just, you know, let's just go for it this morning. We haven't practiced anything, and we don't do it. No, they're here practicing. On Tuesday nights, they're down here practicing a couple of hours. They're listening to music at home. We have CDs ready for our musicians. They're listening. They're practicing hours upon hours. They get here, and they do vocal practices, and they bring them together with the musicians. And when they come here, they're a blessing to us, because what? They're offering the Lord their offering. You notice the difference. There's something about, not that we have the best, but we have people who are willing to sacrifice and to give God the best talent. It goes in every area of our life. We are called to give the best to the Lord. That's what he's wanting. It's not about how big it is. It's about, you know what? If he's asking for 10 Skittles out of my 100, that's okay, because my God can give me as many Skittles as he wants. What are you doing with your Skittles today? What am I doing with my Skittles today? He's a loving God. We're going to close right now. How many know that I want God to bless me? I want God to bless you. We take our natural and we put it with this supernatural. Things happen in our life. So how many enjoyed your Skittles today? Anybody enjoy your Skittles? How many think we should do Snicker bars next week? Hallelujah! All right. We'll wait till the next offering on that, okay? We'll wait till next time on that. But I do want us to know that something as simple as Skittles can remind us and really paint the picture of really how our attitude is upon God being the owner, we being the managers. We're going to sing a new song this morning. We're going to close with a new song that they've been working on. It's called Moving Forward. And my prayer is that in our heart today, that we will allow in our spirit, say, God, I want to learn to trust you as the Lordship of my life. I want to learn to trust you in every area of my life. How many know that God is wanting you to step out into a new place? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. How many know that God's wanting you to step out into a new place of trust in him? And it starts with simply saying, God, not just with my finances, but with every area of my life, God's wanting us to move forward. Say, God, this is a brand new day. Some of us feel guilty. God, I owe God so much. And you're thinking, some of you are doing the math in your mind. There's no way I can ever get caught up this year on what I made if I start paying 10%. No, God's not wanting you to do that. He just says, from here on out, go forward. Start a new day. God, today I'm going to give you the best fruits today. I may not control what I've done in the past, but I can control what I'm doing in the future. I can control where I've been, but I can control where I'm going. And I'm going in the blessed place. You're going in the blessed place. And it starts with the declaration of my heart that all things are made new. And I'm walking in the new blessed place. God, I'm giving you 100% of my life. Not just 10%. I'm giving you 100% of my life. And what you give it back to me, 90%, then I'm going to give that, and I'm going to give it to the fullest for your kingdom. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. What you ask me to say, I'll say. What you ask me to go, I will go. What you ask me to give, I will give. It's a hard issue today. of submitting to the Lordship of our Jesus Christ. They're going to teach us this new song today as we close, and I want you to declare it in your heart today that we are moving forward.
Hey!
we're going forward today. How many's going forward? How many said, I'm not looking back, but I'm going forward? Come on, someone declare that in your spirit today. Someone declare that in your path today. Come on, right now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand where you're at right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm moving forward today. I'm making all things new. Father, right now, Lord, we declare in our heart, God, and I stretch out my hand this way. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, we declare right now, God, we are moving forward. We're not going to be held back to our past. We're not going to be a slave to any of the state. But, God, we're moving forward. God, we're moving forward. Our family is going to move forward. God, my life is going to move forward. God, I'm moving beyond my mistake. I'm more than a mistake. I'm more than an accident. But, God, today, I'm a promise, God. I'm walking in the promise, the blessed place of you, God. Surrendering to your lordship. God, today, we are moving forward. God, we're breaking through, God. All things are becoming new. God, we're letting go of the person we used to be. Our selfishness, God, our mentality,
you
our past.
All things to bless you.
God, we are moving forward. Not a victim to our past, not a victim to our past mistakes, but God, we're going to be all blessed people. God, we're going to manage what you've given us. We're not going to be uncontent about how small it is. We're not going to be over prideful about how big it is. But God, today, it all belongs to you. Every part of our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God, it belongs to you. And we're saying yes to your lordship of our life. God, we're going to give you the first, the best we can go forward, God, in a new day in you. And we say amen together. Amen. God bless you today so much. Thank you for being here. Shake a few hands before you leave. Smile and tell somebody, I'm going forward.